Hey podcasters, Claire, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, Lachie Reed and Lee Montagna try to make sense of Willy Rioli's suspension.
Melbourne Cup champion Michelle Payne and actor Rachel Griffiths from Ride Like a Girl.
Catch up with The Big Breakfast whenever you like, but hurry into Chemist Warehouse this week to pick up a limited edition 2019 AFL season medallion when you buy Ego QV skin lotion.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Claire, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5.
And yes, so obviously the big story on the paper this morning is Willy Rioli and what's happening with this, doping situation. The sample that's come up.
Yeah, he's put through the urine sample that's been asked for from ASADA and they've come back and said, actually, this is not urine. So that needs to now be investigated.
Yes. So, well, we need to speak to someone in the know. And St Kilda legend Lee Montagna is joining us. G'day, Lee.
Morning, Matt, Kimber. How are you going?
Good, thanks, Lee. Now, as a former player, you'd be well familiar with this. What is the exact process? What happens when they knock on the door and decide to say, hey, we need a urine sample? Are they watching you do it? What's the process?
Yeah, I would have been done probably off it. I tried to work out at least 20-odd times throughout my career, definitely once a year. There was one year I got done numerous times where they, what they call profile players, and they sort of track to make sure there's sort of no profiling with anything. And really, once, and on the Tuesday of the day that Willie had taken the sample, he was at training. So once they come to the club, no, it's a random sample who they choose. And once they picked out Willy Rioli and they tap him on the shoulder, you get notified that it's an ASADA tester, and they then follow you everywhere you go for the rest of the day. So however long it takes you to need to go to the bathroom, it could be 10 minutes, you might be ready straight away, you might have to wait a couple of hours. The ASADA tester follows you around everywhere, and that includes in the showers, out on the training track, wherever you go. So Willie would have known that, and then when he was ready to produce a sample, that the tester comes with him and basically watches him front on, and you have to, you know, pull your pants by your knees, and your top has to go up above your belly button, and the tester stands and watches you front on. So there's certainly no way that you can, you know, try and use some other contraption or something like that to do anything. And then once you've taken your sample, again, the tester never takes their eyes off you or the sample. The sample, then you go take the sample with the tester into a private room where you then go through the process of tipping them into jars that are, you know, sealed, and there's a whole process that you have to follow in regards to checking that the glass container is not contaminated, to make sure that, you know, no one's used it previously. You lock it nice and safely, you put it away, it all gets taped up. You know, there's a very, very strict process to follow. So I almost find it impossible to see how you could actually deceive an ASADA tester without them seeing or noticing.
Well, Lee, I mean, that's the picture that you're painting for us. I mean, obviously we can't speak about this case necessarily specifically, but that sounds almost impossible to know that you were going to be tested and then to have the wherewithal to get some other pouch of liquid and to get all that organised without being noticed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it would almost be impossible, I would think, to be able to deceive the ASADA testers without them seeing you, because they don't take their eyes off you. And if they do, well, then their protocols, they haven't followed the correct protocol. So it's a fascinating story. There's still plenty to play out on how this was able to happen and what is the scenario and what's been the cause. So, yeah, really just, I suppose, shocked from a player's point of view that this could happen. And, you know, fingers crossed, but it doesn't look positive.
No, extremely disappointing, especially for the club at the moment at this time of the season as well. So pretty shocking news there. And, I mean, you know, looking forward now, I mean, they're obviously going to investigate the ASADA person as well, because that needs to be looked at. But if it's a difference between recreational drugs and also, you know, performance-enhancing drugs, do they treat those differently, Lee?
Well, this is really important to know. They absolutely do. ASADA, during the week, don't test for illicit drugs. That is not part of their charter. They don't care what's in your system in regards to illicit drugs. They are there purely to look for performance-enhancing drugs during the week. On game day, they also can take illicit drugs, because on game day, you can use illicit drugs as a bit of a performance enhancement. You know, like, you know, for example, cocaine, like, you could potentially say that that's an enhancement of your performance or whatever. But if it's during the week or they come to your house, it is purely only for performance enhancing drugs. So that's also important to note in this case, if there was anything that someone was trying to cover up. And and sometimes as a player, it can be quite confusing. We do have a number of different, you know, you've got the ASADA rules, which, as I said, are different from game day to out of game day testing. You've also got our own anti, you know, illicit drugs policy that the AFLPA and the AFL have got in place, which is another different policy. So it can at times be a little bit confusing if you're not completely across it all. So, you know, possibly, yeah, there's been something in that as well where, you know, maybe Willie wasn't quite sure of the exact protocols and maybe didn't ask anyone and potentially found himself in this situation.
Well, I guess we'll see tonight how much effect it has on the team as a whole. Lee, thanks so much for joining us, buddy.
No worries. Thank you very much. Thanks, guys.
The Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
In the studio, we have, well, acting and racing and directing royalty. We have Rachel Griffiths and Michelle Payne here to talk about the great new Australian film, Ride Like a Girl.
What sort of jockey would you like to say?
I just want to win the Melbourne
Cup. All set to go for the Melbourne Cup. Stand by for the race that stops the nation.
Get off me!
Get back to where you belong!
You must be exhausted.
Work twice as hard and get half the ride.
The only thing that matters is the odds you give yourself.
Yes, tracing the story of Michelle Payne's wonderful journey to winning the 2015 Melbourne Cup. Rachel and Michelle, good morning. Welcome to The Big Breakfast.
Good morning, Perth.
Hey.
Good morning. Oh, so good to have you
it's
here.
It's so nice to be in the West because you get a sleep in. Yeah. That's a big advertisement. It's like daylight savings twice, yes. Twice in a morning.
Well, guys, it was such a fantastic film. Saw it the other day and a great Australian story. And Rachel, I loved these tiny references you put in there too. The little things I appreciated, like even when Magda Skibansi went to put her bet on Michelle and then tipped it out of a mismatched Tupperware container and some gorgeous little like Australian references you see in the film that were fantastic. Was there a real nostalgia for you, Rachel, making this film, even with the kids betting on the horses when they were in school?
Yeah. Yes. Thanks for picking that up. I really wanted to make an old-fashioned what I call a matinee film because yeah. I think this story is Michelle's story. She's a great Australian heroine. We don't make many biopics for the movies. Mm. You know, they tend to be the kind of, you know, little TV films. And I felt her story was bigger than that. It needed a big audience. And so I kind of wanted to hark back to those movies that, you know, Baz Luhrmann, makes, like the Strictly Ballrooms and, you know, just going right back to family films because we've all become this very segmented, you know, everyone's like, this movie is for boys, 12 to 24.
Yes.
You know, and this movie is for women, 65 till dead. But I love, like, we can do that at home. Do you know what I mean? We can binge watch Stranger Things at home or we can watch Chernobyl. But to get a reason to get out of our living rooms and come and share a story with a general audience, I think is still one of the great, you know, cultural thrills in life. So there is quite a lot of nostalgia in this film. And, you know, look, I'm sure there weren't that many nuns left at Loretto, but I had a good pack of them. And also I think it's that beautiful thing that this is a country family. And when you go to the country, it does feel like you're turning, you know, the dial back, you know, 10 or 20 years to the kind of more of an old-fashioned childhood that we grew up with. So there are a lot of kind of nods and there's a gentleness and a kind of pastoral lyricism, you know, in this film.
And a family, of course, is a massive theme throughout. And Michelle, you know, it shows a complicated relationship that you had with your father, who was both sort of telling you can't do this while secretly listening on the radio to the races. How do you feel when you see that portrayed on the screen?
I think that Dad wasn't actually prepared to see that on the big screen because, you know, he didn't speak to me for a whole year when I left home at 16 and I could understand why. We were both stubborn and both probably selfish in our own way, but he, you know, we never talk about it and he brushes over it. So when he saw it for the first time on Sunday night, I think he was a little bit taken back that that was out there.
Yes.
But, you know, I thought it was an important message and, you know, I still, you know, believed in, you know, that I had to follow my dream and I couldn't let Dad's selfishness of losing his little girl and all the kids had left. Like, I could understand he's had this house full of 10 kids and mayhem.
Yeah, incredible.
And then it was quiet, you know, you could imagine how hard that would have been for him. But, you know, I think that it was important to have that in the film. And yeah, like dad was, you know, tough on us growing up, but I can't thank him enough for that, because he really toughened me up for a world of racing, and you know, it's a hard life, and you know, I wouldn't be sitting here today without that upbringing.
And that's what families can relate to, because every family's got those kind of conflicts, you know, going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's a great part of the film, that it is very relatable.
Mm. Well, yeah, I think there's a bit of inspiration. I think we have become a bit soft on our children, and we do much more for them than we did. I mean, I was working when I was 11 years old. You're working at 5. But in the pain, it's true, though.
In the chimneys.
Well, it was true. I mean, after Michelle's mother passed when she was only 6 months old, you know, people came to Patty, had 10 kids, and they just said, well, there's no way you can do this yourself. How about I take the younger two, and so-and-so will take the middle four, and you keep the oldest? And he said, no, we're going to get through this together. Mm. And the way they did that was that everybody had to work. And Michelle tells a great story. One day she didn't do her chores, and he said, that's all right, darling, but you're not eating tonight. So in this family, if you didn't work, you didn't get fed. If you didn't ride, you didn't get attention. And if you didn't win, you didn't get respect.
Yeah, well, it certainly comes through in the film, and certainly the themes that go through of how hard it is to break into a man's world as well. And show that, you know, prove that. I got such a shock to see you'd had 361 wins before you'd even made it to the Melbourne Cup, which is just, you know, a really incredible feat. And so it's hard to describe that passion, but I think you've done a beautiful job in the film of seeing how committed you were, Michelle, to being this rider.
Yeah, and it's not just a chick flick. There's so many positive messages, you know, for men in here, because Paddy, Michelle's dad, he only saw the abilities of his children. He didn't divide them into gender about what their lives or professionally might look like because they were girls. Mm. And talk a bit about Stevie.
Yeah, well, look, like when Stevie was born, everyone was saying to mum and dad, and you know, oh, we're sorry to hear you've had a Down syndrome, and you know, dad was like, they couldn't believe that was the reaction of people. All our lives have, you know, dad's always said Stevie's a blessing to our family and brings so much joy. But the message in this film, I think that's so important, is that Stevie was treated just like the rest of us, because everybody had to work. Everyone had their job. Stevie wasn't Down syndrome. He was just another kid in the family. Yeah. And, you know, he has you know, so much to give. And for Darren Weir to give him a job of strapping the horse in a $6 million race, and for this now to be in a movie that people can see that, you know, they can have so much more of a fuller life if you're giving them the opportunity to. So
he steals a film. Like, yes. Also, he does. I'll just be honest. Yes. If the race was a big glass ceiling broken by Michelle, I think Stevie's broken another one with this film, because I can't think of another film where someone like Stevie is the third lead and basically steals the show from the top two billers.
Well, look, you're both great Australians. It's a great Australian film. Support it. It's in cinemas from September 26th, and there are screenings before that. But Michelle Payne and Rachel Griffiths, thanks so much for joining us.
Such a joy.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see what's happening on the roads. No.
No, well, we don't care what's happening on the roads. Yeah,
a bit of hot chocolate.
On.
It's 7:45.
It's Perth. Your roads are fine.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Kimber. Mm-hmm. Front page of the paper, Willie Rioli, who's had a terrific sort of second half of the season for the Eagles, could be banned for up to 4 years after being charged with a urine substitution breach of the anti-doping rules. And here's what West Coast football manager Craig Vozzo had to say.
It's something that, other than urine, that has been produced by Willie as part of the testing process. The club and the staff are really worried about his well-being. He's not in a great space, and it's our job to help him as much as we can.
Well, what is going on? Let's go to our main man from the Mix 94.5 football call team, Lockie Reid. G'day, mate.
Maddie, Kimber, how are you?
Good, Lockie. I'm really surprised by this story. I think no one wants to believe that it's true, but also, you know, when they do the urine samples, when ASADA come in and say this is what we're doing, aren't they really strict? Do they watch you do it? How can a substitution be given?
Well, exactly. I mean, from what we hear and what I've spoken to a lot of people, and I just, in fact, ran into Mick Malthouse earlier today, he said it's almost impossible for players to get away with not doing a proper urine sample. So, look, we can only jump to conclusions at the moment, but it does seem like some form of liquid, whether it's Gatorade or some form of energy drink, has been tried to, he's tried to put that in his urine sample or substitute it for his urine sample, which to me sounds really silly. What are you doing? But obviously there was something going on with Willie, and he needed to, you know, try and avoid any further drama, of which he's probably created more drama by doing this.
Yeah, and I guess that's the allegation. That's what we'll call it for now. And when did this happen, Locke?
Well, it was August 20. So it was a couple of games after their last trip here to Melbourne. They played Richmond on a Sunday, and it was the Tuesday following that. So it's taken quite some time just for this actual revelation to come out. And of course, the B sample drug test is the one that we're waiting on now as well, because I'm told, and this is all alleged and believed, but I'm told that he was then told to have another sample, urine sample. So we await the possibility of us hearing whether that one was positive or negative.
And Lockie, the suggestion that this could be like a four-year ban, just as an example, if this was something that if he did have drugs in his system and he didn't, do any changes to the test and it went through as normal, what kind of penalty would a player be given if they did have drugs in their system? How long would they be looking it off?
Well, Kimmy, the simple solution is you get three strikes in the AFL. So if this was possibly the first time and there was a positive drug test of any player, they just get a strike. Mm. No one really ever finds out about it. So the situation is, you've got three chances as opposed to this tampering. They actually see tampering as more serious than a first drug strike. So the 4 years is massive for something that possibly could be just a strike. And no one ever hears about it. And if you don't do anything wrong for the rest of your career, then you're all okay.
And Lockie, is this the sort of thing that could throw the club just preparing for such a big game?
No doubt. There is no doubt that it'll be on their minds. Now, whether it is a massive burden on their shoulders as they go into the game or it's an inspiration to them, we're only going to see tonight at, 5:50 Perth time. So we await to see what they're like at the first bounce. We wait to see how they are at quarter time and then three-quarter time and whether this is... I mean, no doubt, Matty, they would have spoken about this all last night. Yeah. Adam Simpson would have got them in a room and said, righto, this is the situation. We now need to put it aside and just focus on Geelong. Now, whether they can do that or not remains to be seen.
Yeah, all right, mate. Well, have a great night tonight and we'll see what happens, see what unfolds.
Yeah, let's play footy,
eh? Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, Lockie.
See you guys.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. The
juice. Oh, you tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
Brace yourselves. This tour will be bigger than you expect. Backstreet Boys, baby. The biggest selling boy band of all time.
Are they?
100 million albums.
Wow.
It's huge. They are heading back to Australia in 2020 for a national arena tour. So you'll be seeing them at the Perth Arena there, RAC Arena. Now, the show promises flawless choreography, costume changes, a pyramid-shaped stage of light, trapdoors, and giant video screens.
Right, so much like pretty much every other concert.
Well, yeah, but I love a trapdoor.
Oh, yes.
I want to see someone vanish through a trapdoor.
Yes.
Tickets are going to go on sale 12 p.m. Monday, September 23rd. The Perth show will be at the arena, as I said, on Saturday, May 30 next year. For the complete information about the tour and VIP sales, etc., livenation.com.au. And also, you can catch a preview of the DNA World Tour on 60 Minutes on Channel 9 this Sunday.
So if you want
to see a bit more, and make no mistake, it will be a popular gig.
Absolutely.
They are very popular. Backstreet Boys. There will be a lot of people there.
I can't wait to see 60 Minutes delve deeply.
Yeah.
What happens under the trapdoor?
Now, The Bachelorette, Australia's newest leading lady, Angie Kent, is hoping to find love. You might know her from Gogglebox, where she watched the other Bachelorettes and judged them then. But now the focus is on her.
I'm Angie and I'm your next Bachelorette. I am hoping to fall in love, but I'm still going to be me. Bachelorette up the top. Bogan down the bottom. Ring on the gentleman.
It's coming soon. I guess after Survivor finishes on 10, it'll be rounding up shortly after Bachelor wraps up.
Right. Now, she was also in Celebrity Get Me Out of Here, was
she? Yes, she was. Yeah. Very successful.
I quite like her. I don't know much about her, but she comes across really well.
She's very likeable. I think it'll probably be a good pick for them.
Yeah.
It might pick up that lagging kind of Bachelorette interest from last year.
Yes.
And also Taylor Swift, now that she's been announced to be playing two songs at the Melbourne Cup.
Yes.
And she's getting backlash from her fans. Lots of fans who are saying respect the animal rights and are not into horse racing are saying I'm not going to be supporting you in any way from this point forward. So she might have upset a few people by taking on that gig.
Just taking a gig, it's hard, isn't it?
It is, it's hard.
Got to be a performer and have a moral compass, something I've certainly never been able to do.
That's your Daily Juice.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Of course, it's finals time and you can pick up some Schick Hydro Sense refills from Chemist Warehouse this week and score yourself a limited edition Norm Smith medallion, Chemist Warehouse, the house of finals.
I might start shaving my beard after all.
You should do that.
The Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Coburn, Cannington, Melfin, Girraween, Joondalup, East Vic Park, the places between. Home was where the heart is and that's all good. Let me tell you all about it, Matt, tips from your hood.
It's time.
It's time again. No rest for the wicked, Matthew. You must spin the suburban wheel. We have our wheel in the studio here, which has a bunch of tatty suburbs written all over it from all over Perth.
Well, there's in the pieces of paper are tatty.
Well, we just keep sticking them on every time you knock off another suburb. You, of course, write a song about people's suburbs.
Yes.
You've got about 300 left to go.
I do.
So spin the wheel and let's see what you'll be writing a song about this week. Oh,
that's all right.
That wheel.
It's terrible. Oh,
that was the most, petered out to this kind of pathetic ending.
It's like me
ending,
on a Saturday night.
But great suburb.
Is that, are we calling it that one?
That one there.
All right.
Ellenbrook.
All I know about Ellenbrook is that they're hanging out for a train line, right?
They are big time.
Oh, no, I've performed at the Brook. I've done comedy.
Oh, the tavern.
Yeah, I'm sure I've done comedy there.
I can tell you that it sometimes gets referred to as Ellenbronx.
Ellenbronx. That's a great name for a character.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Ellenbronx. Or Fellenbrook.
Or Fellenbrook. Oh, that's a good one. I mean, it's a great family suburb. I can tell you that. It's big homes and stuff.
Yeah.
But they have had a little bit of crime out there too.
Okay. Well, we love it. A bit of colour, a bit of character.
But the best people to describe it are people who live in Ellenbrook or work in Ellenbrook. So if you've got a story or you know the area, then go on Mix on our Facebook page and give Matt some tips.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we're just making it up based on the rumours and that's not fair,
it's
right?
It's not fair. And I'm going to drop that on today week on Friday.
Next
before
Friday.
We go on a week's break. So it's going to have to be a big one.
Okay, great. Well, go to our Mix page and give us anything you know about Ellenbrook for Matt's Hits From Your Hood.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Well, another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. That's a really good news read, but here's what the news missed.
Right. Lincolnshire Fire and Rescue in England have decided to drop Fireman Sam from their promotional material for not being inclusive enough.
Oh, Sam.
Fireman Sam. He's been around since about 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's been a lot of research done. We've had this debate with fairy tales.
Yes.
You know, how, you know, they're full of sort of stories of brave princes and helpless princesses.
Oh, we're useless.
You are.
What can women do other than sit around and wait for men to save them?
And do your hair, love. Comb your hair and wait for a lovely prince to come along.
Wait for him to kiss you while you're sleeping. Good moves.
You know, and there's a lot of research been done that says this is actually important, that what kids read at early ages and see, you know, gives them some sort of template for the rest of their lives and what they can achieve. And I think only recently they, two of the last 25 CEOs were women who were appointed.
Yep.
So it's obviously, it's still clearly a big issue, equality.
Yeah.
Of course, it's sent people like Piers Morgan into conniptions, the conservative commentator, going, oh, what's happened? We read these stories and we turned out okay, which
is debatable. Oh, yeah, we're doing a great
debatable.
Job, dude.
Yeah, the planet's in the terrific shape.
We're really taking care of each other as humans. Everything's fine.
Well, and, it, you know, people always say, well, what are you going to do, change Manjum up to, you know, something other that's not man? And I've decided that I will start changing all of the songs I do from now on.
Oh, okay. Just
to be completely
inclusive.
Would you like to hear an example?
I'd love to.
Okay.
You make me feel like a natural person.
That's beautiful.
But also, you know, we've got to do one for the boys as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, check this out. Yeah, everybody got to live together. You going to join in with me?
Yep.
Here we go. Oh, wait.
When's it come in?
Here, yeah. Oh, bad people, bad people. What you going to do? What you going to do when they're coming for you? All right, nice,
nice. It works.
And this one's going to be my big hit.
Mm-hmm.
Ready? I want to feel free, yeah, to feel the way I feel. Person, I feel like a person.
Really works.
It is.
I love that.
So, you know, we're all on board here at Mix 94.5. Not only is it the home of Perth's greatest hits, it's also an inclusive workspace.
Good on you.
Excellent.
I like that.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Blue Light Friday. Friday the 13th, Matty.
Friday the 13th. I mean, this is the sort of day that people who are superstitious will be losing their minds, right?
People freak out about the 13th. Yeah. I'm born on the 13th, so I've had
that
a few...
That explains a lot, actually.
I've had a few Friday the 13th birthdays and stuff. Nothing terrible's ever happened. It's a celebration for me.
Really?
So I've never seen it as a thing, but apparently, according to the Stress Management Centre and Phobia Institute in North Carolina...
SMPI.
Yeah, those guys. An estimated 17 to 21 million in the US are affected by a fear of this day. Apparently, it's the most feared day and date in history.
Really?
And they reckon that it can cost them between $800 and $900 million in business loss on this day because some people just will not get out of bed. They won't take flights and they'll avoid doing normal business on the 13th.
Now, it's all a bit biblical, isn't it? Because it was about Judas being the 13th person to sit at the Last Supper dinner table.
And he was bad luck, apparently.
Yeah, we know how that turned out. Not great. But I mean, I don't think I have any superstitions.
No? None at all?
I mean, I'm always early, but that's just because I'm weird.
Yeah, I do a few like, if it's no skin off my nose, so for example, if I don't have to walk under a ladder, I certainly won't.
No, but that's just pure safety, isn't it? I mean, that's just being sensible.
You know, but sometimes I do make choices where I think this is a bit, you know, if I was carrying a mirror or whatever, I'm like, oh, I don't want to smash it, even though I don't really believe that's a thing.
No.
You know, but I'd be interested to hear if people do actually believe in these superstitions, if they have had something really terrible happen on Friday the 13th, or if they changed their lives around it.
Yeah, well, particularly around football time and certainly in the cricket, you had Steve Waugh with his lucky red hanky. There are some cricket teams that once you sit in that seat, you can't move until the batsman gets out.
Yeah.
Even if you need a wee, you've got to stay there.
It's so bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if you subscribe to it, we want to know what your experience has been. 133353. Have you had, you know, have you got a weird superstition that you really sort of follow, or have you got any proof that Friday the 13th is even a thing?
Is it a bad thing?
I can't think of anything bad that's happened.
No, I can't.
There's probably major events you watch. It'll be all the world wars happened on this on day or something. And I'm like, I don't know what happened.
The Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
We're asking for your calls. What's your weirdest superstition on this Friday the 13th? 133353. Kimber, you're not impressed.
Well, I don't think Friday the 13th is a thing. I've told you it's my birthday on the 13th.
Yes.
And so I've had a couple of these.
Times.
My 18th birthday, I had it at the Canning Vale Prison.
Oh, you're asking for trouble.
Well, I sort of thought, because I don't really see it as a spooky thing, but I went, oh, it's my 18th, let's do it at the prison. It seemed like a good idea at the time.
Did you have to have a cavity search?
What a way to kick off your
18th. Yeah, happy birthday. Let's go to Clarkson. Cheryl, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
We're good.
Cheryl, are you superstitious? Kimber? Is this a thing on the 13th?
Well, it was actually my dear mother. She was always, always suspicious of, Black Friday the 13th. And unfortunately, that was the day she actually passed away on a Black Friday. Just 7 years ago.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. So, Cheryl, she always made a thing of that when you were growing up.
She was very superstitious, you know. No shoes on the table and, you know. stuff like that, but she was always suspicious of Black Friday, and it was actually the day that she passed.
I'm always fascinated by those things, you know, that you talk about the witch doctor pointing the bone and people then just walking off into the bush and dying. You know, the human mind is incredible what it can do.
Yep.
Cheryl, maybe she knew, like in that kind of way where, you know, people just sort of, maybe she feared that day her whole life because she knew that was the day it was going to end. That's actually fascinating.
Sure. Yep.
Wow.
I thought she might have, you know, gone to the 14th, but it was about 20 to 12, quarter to 12 on the night of the 13th.
Wow.
And she slipped away.
And how about for you now, Cheryl? Has that changed the day for you?
No, I'm not suspicious.
Not superstitious of it, no?
No. Just couldn't believe it that she actually, that was the day she actually died.
Yeah,
you know?
Wow. Yeah. Oh, thanks, Cheryl. Thanks for the call. Mm. Sorry to hear about your mum, but wow, that's really interesting.
Hopefully the 13th will be a lucky number for our mighty Eagles tonight.
Oh, good on you, Cheryl. Absolutely.
We'll be thinking of you. Mick's in High Wycombe. Mick, are you superstitious? It's the 13th of September. How do you feel about it?
No, I'm not superstitious. It's my birthday today. You guys are talking about it a lot, and I just thought I'd mention that, yeah.
Oh, happy birthday, mate. So you haven't had anything bad happen? You've obviously gone through a few Friday the 13th birthdays like myself.
Yeah, it doesn't come around too often, but it really doesn't worry me. I'm not superstitious, you know, but I work in civil, so hopefully we don't break any water mains or gas mains or anything like that today, you know.
And Mick, is it a landmark birthday for you today?
It is, yeah. It's 60 today.
Oh, good work, buddy. Well done.
Well, have a lovely day, Mick. I hope it's really easy for you, just so I can keep beating out this superstition idea.
Okay, thanks very much for that. You guys have a great day too.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Mick.
Now you've caught up with the Big Breakfast. Better hurry into Chemist Warehouse this week to pick up a limited edition 2019 AFL season medallion with any Ego QV skin lotion.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.